The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Bob Dio, Bob Engineering and Producing, my show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to Buckmaster. It's Friday, April the 19th. Today, of course, is Good Friday, the Christian holiday marking the date of Christ's crucifixion. It is also the start of Passover for our Jewish friends, nearly a week-long commemoration of the Jewish liberation from slavery. So two very important dates today. We are live during the week, during the noon hour on 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening and all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Our media partners, a shout out on Friday, TucsonSentinel.com. That's an online news service created by Dylan Smith. He's the not only founder, he's the editor, publisher, and we appreciate your support, Dylan. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir.
Dylan with me in studio today. Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Dan Shear's organization. Dan is the editor, and Dan is also with me in studio. Dan, thank you so much for your support over the years.
I appreciate it. You've earned it.
Thank you very much. The Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications supporting our program, Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today, United States Representative Raul Grijalva, a Democrat representing Arizona's 3rd Congressional District. Congressman Grijalva is also chairman of the National Natural Resources Committee in the U.S. House of Representatives. Congressman, how are you?
I am well, thank you.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
And again, in studio with us, Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan is also, he has this additional responsibility, which was given to him, it's been about a year, hasn't it, Dan?
Yes.
The additional responsibility is really a big one. He is now the editorial director for the WIC newspaper chain, which includes more than 24 papers in the Western United States. Dylan Smith is the immediate past chair of Lion Publishers. Lion, an acronym for Local Independent Online News Publishers. Dylan is very involved in journalistic activities and trade groups with journalists. He's vice president of the Arizona Press Club. And again, thanks, Dylan, for your support over the years.
Absolutely.
All right, Congressman, the editorial in the New York Times, so much for complete and total exoneration.
Yes, and I think despite Attorney General Barr's defense attorney tactics early on when he wrote the 14-page synopsis, I guess, to the public and to Congress about that this is an exoneration basically a clean bill for the president in terms of what Mueller was investigating. Now you begin to get some content of the full 400-page report. And as such, and even with the redactions, and as such, painting a picture, I think a very glaring picture, that indeed, you know, the Russian influence was not just incidental, it was intentional, and it was effective in terms of the that presidential election. And as such, I really believe that we have not done anything, the administration has not done anything, to fairly secure what can happen based on the track record. And there have been 34 guilty pleas or indictments out of that investigation, four of them within the immediate circle of the president. And so I think what was the other interesting point that was made, not only in that editorial and others, there might not be the basis for collusion, but certainly the case for corruption was pretty strong.
All right, Dan Shear.
The Washington Post has documented more than 9,500 lies by this president. He has said things that would have tanked any other politician 100 times over. It seems like he's Teflon. Should he be worried, though, after this report?
I think he should. I think that, you know, from the beginning, you know, the Mueller report, I think some people, given the constraints being that, you know, the Justice Department and or the FBI are not going to prosecute a sitting president, okay? That's the premise of, that's the directive, and that's been the policy. But having said that, I think there should be a lot of worry. There should be a lot of worry about the 100-plus meetings with Russians, and not just normal Russian folks here visiting the country. These were people that were involved in counterintelligence, and these were people that were providing information, whether it's WikiLeaks or anything else, to the campaign, and it was used effectively. I think he should be worried. I think he should be worried about the efforts that he made in the process of trying to stop and or sabotage the investigation that was going on by Mueller, and that was very strong in the report. And the pathological nature of the lies seem to people think that he's insulated from them, but I think this is a long period coming up right now, campaign and otherwise, and I think as more and more come, and if the four committees that have direct jurisdictional responsibility for what Congress does continue to do their work and continue to probe, more and more will come out. This is a big part of the iceberg, but it's still not the whole iceberg.
Here's Dylan Smith.
So some 25-30% of that report is redacted, blacked out. If you look at the screenshot of all of those pages, there's a whole lot that we don't know that was in there. But based on what was in there, which includes Mueller using the word impeachment, what, 10 times, a dozen times? Are the Democrats in Congress taking this report as essentially an impeachment referral? And based on what we do know, what has been established, is it your assessment that the president has committed impeachable offenses?
My assessment was long time ago, when I was one of 15 people that felt that there was some that signed on to a resolution with impeachment referrals, and as a pushback to what we believe to be no action on it, nothing really being done. At the time, the Republican majority was holding no hearings. If not, Nunes was cooperating with the White House to try to suppress any real hearings or any real information. After that, you know, I think that, you know, the confirmation of that Congress needs to look further is before us, that we shouldn't shy away from that. And are we heading toward impeachable offenses? I think we are, and I don't have a problem with that. I think I think it's more now about political calculations than it is about whether we go forward and deeply go into this issue, and bring impeachable charges against the president. It's a political calculation about how does this affect 220? Are we making a victim out of the president, and consequently hurting chances for the long haul, and the lagging question is, do we have enough? I think there's plenty. And I think there's plenty to pursue. And I think the four committees, ethics, judiciary, oversight, and ways and means, need to pursue that and pursue it aggressively.
Dylan, real quick follow, yeah, then we'll go to Robert on the live line.
Impeachment and removal will not happen without the votes of a significant number of
two-thirds.
Republicans.
Yeah. Two-thirds. And that is the political calculation and the reality. But that, if that is not the end point, removal at the end of this, if that is not able to be done, I think it's important that this whole process of bringing this out into the light continue. And I really believe that removal is the hard edge on this thing. Bringing the charges, there's substance to bringing the charges. The reality of that happening is weak.
So real quick, you are in favor of, even if impeachment is not on the horizon, continuing to have
the basis,
congressional committees investigate
absolutely
all of these allegations?
Absolutely, because, you know, one of the things that there's, your colleague used the word Teflon. You know, he used to apply to Ronald Reagan. This Ronald Reagan was nothing compared to the fact that nothing seems to permanently stick to this to Trump. And I think people need to know about. I think by Congress continuing what it's doing, couple that with the Mueller report and the redactions having to do with counterintelligence, which is just a huge area, and the redactions having to do with 18 ongoing investigations as well, which is a huge deal that are being pursued by other state entities and state attorney generals, federal attorney generals. So this is not over. This is not unraveled. When, you know, that's why Trump said what he said. You know, oh man, my presidency is doomed. When he found out that there was going to be,
All right,
in deference to the host,
let's go to the live line. Robert is with us on the live line. He called it 790-2040. Hello, Robert.
Hey, good morning, afternoon. Nancy Pelosi already said she wasn't going to attempt to impeach him, and Dan, you said get rid of him. If for some bizarre reason you are able to get rid of him, then Pence will be the new president. He'll pick a heavyweight VP, and he'll still cream the Democrats in the election because their bench is so shallow. And I don't mean numerically, I mean intellectually.
All right, Robert, let's hear what the congressman has to say about Pence.
I didn't get the intellectual part. What was it?
Would Pence be a problem as far as you're concerned?
I think you were to remove Trump, that whole administration is crippled, and it's by association, and you're going into an election cycle in which, the possibility of everything changing is going to be available to the American voters. So, I don't see the specter of Pence as that significant, and I don't see him as that significant as a candidate down the road. So that doesn't keep me up at night.
And Dan, you didn't say get rid of him, did you?
No, I didn't. I just said should he be worried.
Okay.
But going forward, unfortunately, most people are not going to read this report, but even if you just read the executive summary, it's terrifying what went on, and it was very obvious that the Russians were attempting to influence. So now jumping ahead, and it might be a little early for this question, jumping ahead, what can we do to ensure that in future elections, outsiders don't have this type of power?
You know, when you have 14 plus states that don't have a paper backup ballot, that's a problem. When you don't have the commitment on the part of federal elections and the administration to provide resources to states, to provide resources to entities, to provide that level of security, that label of resisting these kind of cyber attacks that are on the election system, then and on the democracy in general, then you know the cause for worry is there. It's a commitment to secure our democracy by securing our voting, and that legislation will get done. It got done in H.R. 1 to add to the capacity to secure the vote and protect the vote, but you know it's another question. Is Dylan adequate? How far will it get in the Senate? Probably not far at all. And if it were even to get by the Senate, would the president ever sign something like that? No. And so I think there's concern, and there should be concern about, you know, they learned a lesson, the Russians did, on how to effectively interfere and manipulate our electoral process. And now the next step is how to begin to affect the totals that come out of those processes.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Mona's Danish Bakery. This is a very big day in the history of Mona's. Dylan, I know you're a big fan of Mona's.
Absolutely.
This the news I have is good. Today was the opening of the now hot breakfast at Mona's. Got an early report, things going very well on the opening day. Mona's will be open. It's going so well. They're going to do a Sunday, Easter Sunday, until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So this is really a great start to Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. The early bird special, 6:30 to 7:30 at Mona's. Two eggs, two bacon, and toast for $4. How does that sound to you, Congressman, right about now?
very good and very dangerous.
Well, I'll give you a little bit more. This is what I'm looking forward to when I go up to Mona's. They're gonna have a signature, delicious French toast made with challah bread. Sounds good, huh?
I would try that out.
Yeah. I'll be trying that this weekend. Give everybody a report next week. So check it out, monasdanishbakery.com, and of course they're at buckmastershow.com. All of our partners are there. When we come back with Congressman Grijalva, a caller who did not want to go on the air, did the Mueller report actually say that the Russian meddling was effective in changing the election?
Yes, it did. I mean, that is a known fact now, and it was a known fact before, but now you have the verification, and, you know, 10 instances laid out in detail, and redactions dealing with counterintelligence. So, you know, you have to put that factor into the election as well.
All right. We'll take our break right here. More with the congressman and Dan Scheer and Dylan Smith right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor, independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 1224, our Friday Focus interview on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. United States Representative Raul Grijalva representing District 3, the 3rd Congressional District, with us in studio. With me, also, Dan Scheer is here, editor of Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. Dan Scheer would like to leave the Mueller report for a moment and go to the border? Go ahead, Dan.
About 3 weeks ago, Governor Ducey said that he certainly would not support closing the border to deal with immigration or to get Mexico's attention. 2 days later, he went to the White House, met with the president, and suddenly he was all for a short-time closure of the border. We're not quite sure what that looks like. Very alarming statements. Bill and I talked a couple of weeks ago with Karen Fan, who's the head of the state Senate. She calls that a non-issue. But when a border governor says that he would support closing the border, is this alarming to you?
Yeah, it's alarming in many ways. It's going to be destructive for the nation as a whole, a border closure. Given the commerce and given, I think, the second or third major trading partner or first in many instances, that's a huge hit. The jobs involved are a huge hit that'll be lost. But for border communities in the borderlands, and this extends up here to Tucson as well in Phoenix, our state's dependency on trade and commerce and visitation is huge. And Nogales, Douglas, Yuma, and you can go through any of the border communities in Arizona, they would have a major effect on their sales tax revenue that funds their municipalities, a major effect on employment, and a major effect on all those small businesses that rely on that visitation from across the border. And it goes vice versa. But I really think that Ducey's going to fall into his own trap. And the trap is, I'm going to be hard on this issue, but I still want to be the accommodating trade guy, take a mission to Mexico, tell them how wonderful Arizona is, and then do a photo op in the White House and change your position completely the next day. I mean, that's dangerous policy setting, because it's not only a contradiction, but it sends the wrong message that somehow closing the border is not going to affect us in any way. But you know, we're dealing with the refugees right now, the people that are asylum seekers that are turning themselves into the border. They're not running across and waiting to be caught by Border Patrol. They are voluntarily wanting to prove credible fear. Well, and we have that backlog. Now we're having them being released in Tucson, having released in Yuma, having them released in all the communities, Phoenix, by Border Patrol and ICE, because they don't have the capacity and detention to hold them. And they have to release them within 20 days by the asylum law. And what are we doing? What's the thing Ducey wants to do is declare this an emergency so we can get FEMA funds. The issue is that I am convinced that part of the reelection, and back to the question whether it's the Mueller report or not, the thing with Trump is that you're going to have to beat him at the ballot box in 2020. I'm convinced that that's still going to be the race. And the major engine right now appears to be the border, immigrants, migrants, and how much fear and nostalgia he can wrap up for his base and for voters in order to try to retain his position. And so I anticipate that none of this is by coincidence, the separation of families. He wants to reinstate.
We have a full board of folks who want to speak with the congressman. And before we leave the border, Dan, Douglas has already taken a huge hit, hasn't he?
Yeah, we own the newspaper on that in that border community.
That's one of your papers.
Correct, Douglas Ditchmatch. And 15 businesses have closed there since January 1.
Wow. All right. Russ is first on the live line at 790-2040, first of three callers who are holding. Full board. Go ahead, Russ.
Good afternoon, Congressman Bill. Congressman, the other day I saw you on YouTube with DeVos, the Secretary of Education, and as an educator, can't something be done about that? It's absolutely disgraceful what's going on with her. Thank you, Congressman.
With the Department of Education. Go ahead, Congressman.
No, there's not much to say. I think the three areas aside from the revolving door of secretaries of different agencies and departments that we have with this kind of a major dysfunction, reality show kind of a drama goes on every day. You know, Bernhardt gets appointed to Secretary of Interior, and the second day on the job, they open up eight investigations on him of a conflict of interest and other issues. DeVos, but three departments that have been effectively following an agenda, and that the dismantling of public education under DeVos, basically turning Interior over into an extraction industry and following industry on that, and EPA weakening regulations around issues of clean air, clean water, pesticides, you name it. Those three, unfortunately, they have been prodding along and being effective. And those two of those areas I'm involved, education and the resource side, because what is being posed is very, very dangerous.
Can Rosemont be stopped, in your opinion?
It's going to be a fight. There's going to be a litigation fight. And what our committee is doing is investigating the contradictions between the original recommendations that were made by federal agencies relative to what it meant to water, what it meant to air quality, what it meant to habitat, and what it meant to potential contamination down the road, completely flip positions in order to effectuate the approval. That is still something that we're going to investigate. But litigation, and hopefully from the investigations get something that will be able to at least make Rosemont go through the process that it was intended to go through.
But it's already gone through the process. 17 agencies have said, yes, that flip is very interesting. I agree. 2016, they have a problem with it. Last month, they don't have a problem with it. But if that is ironed out, are you okay with it then?
No.
Okay, so then why do we even have these agencies? Why do we even have the process?
Part of the issue with the mining law and part of the reform that needs to happen, that these agencies are handcuffed. They can never say no.
All right.
I mean, they have to. The whole purpose of options and alternatives is to how do you make the claim work? And it's not like it's on public land. The issue of for the Forest Service is this will be the site where the
tailings will go.
Other things get dumped onto the federal land. That's the key. That's the key nexus that we have as a federal government, and you know this is a cumulative effect that you have. And my opposition to it is that we have not done consultation with the tribes, we have not done the cultural resource inventory, we have not done the archaeological inventory. There are things still that have not been done, and I think the litigation is to that end.
But the tribes were brought in on it because that's part of the process. But what you're saying is that the process largely is a sham because the 1872 mining law is weak.
Yeah, there's no other discretion other than to say yes.
All right, Matthew, I'm very tight on time and having to be the time manager here. Could you give me a question basically within 15 seconds?
Yes. Congressman, thank you for your work on the DCP. I think that will finally move to the president for signature. But I consider that the beginning of the end of the beginning. And the question is, what does Arizona do next to deal with its foreboding water crisis?
Yeah, the
long term.
The drought contingency plan that all the seven basin states that rely on the Colorado River agreed to is an interim step, a reprieve, for a better word, until 2026, when there has to be a more permanent structure. And I think at that point, you know, there's going to be choices, hard choices here in Arizona about water use, hard choices about conservation, hard choices about renewables and alternatives and moving in that direction. And I think all the big water users and the growing population in industry being the big water users and the growing population in the state are going to demand some tough choices, and conservation is going to be key to it. But conservation in and of itself, without other checks and balances, is not going to work. We've asked, and we're going to insist on a yearly climate change analysis that's provided to everyone in Arizona and in the basin area, so that we know what effect that's having. And then, you know, the assured water, which I think is just a paper that gets handed out to anybody that wants to develop, whether it's to San Pedro or anybody else, put some real science behind the fact that this assured water for 100 years is exactly that. And I don't believe it's that right now. So we have some tough choices. And, tribal settlements on water are going to are being challenged as well. Subsurface control of their territories being challenged as we speak right now. So this next period of time, this planning period, I would hope that in putting this together, the governor and other powers to be here, that they make the process a little more inclusive.
All right. Ingrid, you have 10 seconds to make your question. That's how tight we are. Go ahead.
What excuse does anybody have to demand entry into the United States once they've made it into Mexico from a Central American country where they were not happy? And please define political asylum, because I don't think we have the same definition. Thank you very much.
Political asylum, Congressman? What is it?
Well, it's
bottom line.
Credible fear. You know, it's not an automatic. People come, they present themselves at the border. They ask for asylum and seeking refugee status. They have to present credible fear. It's not an automatic, and that's the process, and that's why we have the backlog, and that's why we have people being, because this administration has designed that process not to work, and the consequences of that are that communities all over the state are having to do the humanitarian side of this, is to take care of these individuals and their families and their kids. I just came from, you know, 60% of kids under 12, and their moms. And I.
Yeah, you were just meeting with them.
And yeah. I really believe that this is all contrived. That the border crisis is going to get worse because it is part of the president's reelection campaign.
All right. One final question, David. I'm out of time, but it's my show, so I'm going to keep it another minute or so. Go ahead about the death tax. Is that your concern?
Totally relates to our population growth in this area and its unsustainable demand on resources. I'm right next door to the White Stallion Ranch. 3,000 acres is probably worth $100 million. The family has owned this home for many years. If the death tax is in effect, one of the family members dies, they'll have to sell the ranch to pay off the death tax, and this will be a massive, massive development. It will have a very, very negative impact upon the Swirl National Park.
All right.
It'll drive local taxes up.
Okay, thank you, David. What do you think, Congressman?
Well, I this last tax package made the estate tax even lower than it was, and it is a loss of revenue, huge loss of revenue, and I think that the burden of taxation is not equal. The burden of wage earners is not equal in this country, and I for one is looking at what was done in the previous Congress and was signed into law in terms of the tax package that Trump signed and that the Congress and the Republicans passed in Congress. Relook at it, make it more equitable and sustainable for the future. Right now, it's not that case, and it's tilted in one direction, and it's to the upper income earners. And in terms of the estate tax, even keeping it under what it was previously would have generated revenue for all the things that he listed. But beyond that, now with lowering that, you've made it even worse because there's less revenue anywhere.
All right. I am completely out of time, Dylan Smith and Dan Scheer, but I will ask one more question of the congressman.
It's your show.
Andrew, thank you very much for reinforcing that. Who are you backing? You backed Bernie the first time around. Have you made any decision?
No, not yet. But, you know, obviously, if I look at one hand, I know what I ideologically want, what I philosophically want, what I think the issues that I support, and Bernie's one of them, Elizabeth Warren's another, etc.
Buttigieg, do you like Buttigieg?
Yeah, I think he's really smart, really smart. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's okay to have the feel that we have. I think it's important for Democrats. But the other hand tells me who can beat this guy.
Yeah.
And this guy being Trump. And I think that's the dilemma that many, many Democrats are going to find themselves in, because at the end of the day, that election in 2020 will be transformational in terms of beating him or not beating him.
All right, Congressman.
Can I toss something in here real quick?
Sure.
It's your show, but I'm asking permission.
Yes.
Last time around, there were a whole lot of progressives, the Bernie bros, as they were often derisively referred to, who pretty much caught off their nose despite their face and refused to support the nominee of the Democratic Party. And that didn't serve the Democrats very well. How does your party avoid getting into that kind of cycle this time around?
The leadership. And I'm not talking of just the top tier. The leadership of whether it's Congressional Progressive Caucus, whether it's Alexandria, Ocasio-Cortez, whether it is myself, others, whoever is in that place, step up and and realize that this is a transformational election, and do whatever is possible to get united around around a particular nominee, whoever that might be.
All right, Congressman Grijalva, a blessed Easter to you,
sir. To you, too.
Thank you for coming in. Dan Scheer and Dylan Smith, we've got some things to talk about. There's news about Stone Garden, correct, Dan?
Yes, there is.
And Dylan.
Yep.
All right, we'll hear about that from the guys after we take our break right here. It's Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Okay, it's Buckmaster on a Friday, 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Our Friday focus interview today was with the Congressman Raul Grijalva, District 3. We went a little long for the Friday focus interview. That means we have to telescope down the roundtable portion with Dan Scheer and Dylan Smith, and both of them
half have a roundtable.
Huh?
Yeah. We're folding up the dining room table here.
Is it now like we used to, when I was growing, we have like a card table, kind of these little fold-up.
Yeah.
I think that's what we
TV
have.
TV tray.
That's what we now have. We've got about, I've got about 6 minutes, so go at it, gentlemen. What's the latest on Stone Garden?
Stone Garden is a big deal, and for those who haven't been paying attention, it's some money from the federal government that promotes collaboration between local law enforcement and federal law enforcement, and the county declined it. in September for the first time in over 10 years, and they are now looking at the next year's of worth of Stone Garden money, and Chuck Huckleberry, the county administrator, has released a memo that says, you know what, maybe we should think about taking this money, and here's what we would do. And basically, if the sheriff would agree to share some of it, which in a couple of different ways, then they should okay it. Now, the Community Law Enforcement Partnership Commission has already suggested that they not accept it. So this would be going against them. And frankly, three of the five supervisors were poised to say no for a second year in a row. And now this memo may cause them to pause.
And we're talking about roughly $1.5 million or so. A relatively small fraction of the sheriff's department budget, but still something that they have eagerly accepted for many years in the past, until last year when there was a, pretty much prompted by the Trump administration's border policies, there was a much bigger to-do about local law enforcement taking this money.
Right, but I think it would look bad for the county to say no to money when we know darn well in the next year, year and a half, they're going to be asking us for another half-cent sales tax. So, and I know the two are not related, but they are related in the minds of people. It's like, wait, you're saying no to free money, and yet you're going to be asking us for more. I think on those grounds, $1.5 million is a whole lot of money.
One of the interesting things that Huckleberry raised in his memo that he sent to the Board of Supervisors this week was an issue that hasn't really come to the fore before. If the county stops accepting Stone Garden funds, that means essentially canceling their Stone Garden program, and a whole lot of equipment that the Sheriff's Department has accepted in the past might have to be given back to the feds to be handed out to other law enforcement agencies. And that includes, you know, not just some minor things like radios. Isn't there a Cessna airplane on that list?
Yeah, but they also don't have to do that. My guess is that it's a long shot that they would have to return anything. But yes, technically,
well, it would be up
they
to
might
the
have
feds
to.
If they ask for it back. It wouldn't be voluntarily on the part of the county.
Correct. And Napier has been in touch with them about last year's funds, because by the time they said no, he already had half of it spent, and he did not have to give up any of that. So hopefully that would be the case going forward.
250 journalist Dylan Smith was among them gathered in my hometown, Chicago, last week to discuss ways to avoid the mistakes that plague the news media's coverage of the 2016 presidential race. What was the bottom line, Dylan?
Well, I two things. What highlighted the conversation there, and it was mainly among folks who are on the national campaign trail covering presidential elections, was, you know, to pay a whole lot more attention to what's going on outside of major urban areas, outside of the
flyby country.
Well, yeah. And not just, you know, middle America and the Midwest, but, you know, to get away from the sort of bubble that a lot of people in the national press live in, which is people talking on Twitter amongst themselves. Mm-hmm. And there's just, you know, a tiny fraction of the population that regularly participates in those conversations, just as there's a tiny fraction of the population that actually pays any attention to what's going on in local news. One thing I was disappointed in, and a number of us who are more locally focused who were at this conference, there wasn't enough talk, I don't think, about avoiding the parachute journalism effect. And that's what we in the press call when somebody from a national organization, you know, Fox or CNN or whatever,
drops in for a few days.
Drops in momentarily into
lunch,
a place.
Dinner,
and, you know, one of the things that everyone agreed was that, you know, maybe the diner story needs to stop happening.
Yes.
You know, it's just a stereotype. Somebody shows up, goes to the diner, talks to a couple of people, and then they act like they know that place. You got to get out to some different sorts of places where, you know, people from different walks of life are living their lives, and talk to them. And I would hope that these national news outlets would work a little bit more closely with local news organizations that are invested in their communities, that live there, that much more deeply understand.
Like the newspapers that you represent, Dan, a couple of dozen of them, small town papers.
Yep. Exactly. And we just had Princeton University last summer was coming out here to help cover the CD2 race. They thought that these students would get some great stories. They did contact me. Who should we contact? What are the issues? What's been going on? Direct us. So they got a lot of education before they came here. And I really admired that they did that. They did a great job while they were here.
And so much of it is just, you know, running from campaign event to campaign event for the people who are on the trail. And
worthless.
You know, looking for the little change in language by the candidate and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I not nearly enough on what the actual impact of policy proposals would be on people's lives.
Well, we're worried too much about what shoes Melania is wearing and not the policies of the president, how they affect people down on our level. And that's been part of the problem. Unfortunately, what she's wearing on her feet does hold interest with a lot of people. And we have
an easy sell. People will click on it. You clicked on it.
Exactly it. I did not. I just read the headline. I just read the words. I don't know.
This is a story, and I think I've got about another minute or so, right, Bob? Okay. The measure to ban texting while driving is now headed to the governor's desk. I think that Steve Farley first brought this up about 13 legislative sessions ago. Gentlemen, looks like it's going to happen.
We have, I go through every single sheriff's report and police report out of our community, and this happens an awful lot, that rear-end collisions or people drive over a sign or onto a median or into a building, and this is often the reason. This is so long overdue, Bill. It's laughable that it's taken this long.
A lot of people have brought up the fact that a law like that is very difficult to enforce,
mm-hmm.
and that's true.
Yeah,
but it also just having the law and having it be a statewide law rather than a patchwork of various communities really sends, I think, a strong message that this should not be socially acceptable.
Absolutely.
You know, drunk driving is hard to enforce, but when, as a nation, we strengthened our drunk driving laws several decades ago, it became much more clear to everyone that this was it's not acceptable. It's not something you do. It's dangerous. People die because of it. And the same thing with, having your nose stuck in your phone rather than paying attention to the road.
All right, coming up, the Tucson Citizen went out of business 10 years ago. What date?
The last edition hit the street the morning of May 16th, 2009. Okay. That was
and
a Saturday
we are
morning.
Doing a special hour. Go ahead, Dan.
We're
tell our listeners what's coming up.
Right, May 17th, Bill's going to be out of town, so Dylan and I and Jill Jordan Spitz from the Arizona Daily Star, and then Luigi Del Puerto and Jim Small from up the Phoenix area are going to
contribute telephonically, but there's plenty of room here in the studio for your other guests.
Absolutely. We're going to all be here and talk about the state of journalism. We're not going to be bemoaning anything. I think it's a great time to be in journalism, but we have had to change the way we do things, and that's what we're going to be talking about.
Very good. I'll be looking forward to it. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Coming up next, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Moa Mosgallery in Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery in Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Road trip, everybody. Just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. That's the place to start your great travel planning to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. The listing of great places to stay at that website. Also, so many ideas to recreate, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Again, website southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now award-winning publicist, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great at 93 degrees here at in mid-April. Can't believe it was snowing 2 months ago, Bill.
I know. A lot of our restaurant friends, Matt, are rolling out new spring menus. Do you have any ideas on who is doing that?
I sure do. The crew at the PY Steakhouse down at the Casino del Sol, they recently launched their spring menu that sort of celebrates the flavors and freshness of the season. And with this weekend's heat, you might be looking for lighter and brighter cuisine. So check out the spring onion and white asparagus bisque.
Ooh.
Or the jumbo shrimp pasta with spring peas and lemon. That should get your spring on. But let's remember, the majesty of meat continues to reign at PY. With their new prime beef tartare with a red wine poached egg. The chef really has outdone himself this season, and you can taste his version of spring now at the PY Steakhouse.
One of the most important weekends of the year is here. It's Easter weekend.
It is a day of celebration, and the Arizona Wine Collective in St. Philip's Plaza is kicking things off in style with, are you ready? Breakfast wine.
What?
Now, this is a limited
breakfast
production
wine.
Low-alcohol wine
okay.
From Gilbert, flavored with Arizona citrus, which makes it perfect, I think, for daytime sipping. Now, they're also going to be pouring some Easter-inspired bubbly from Sonoyta's Callaghan Vineyards, as well as a gorgeous rosé from Carlson Creek in Wilcox. The party starts on Sunday at noon, so you can get your sparkling start to your celebrations at the Arizona Wine Collective.
Is the parish doing anything? Think for Easter?
They absolutely are. Chef Travis Peters continues to amaze with his culinary creativity. One of the dishes that he'll be rolling out on Sunday captures the season in a fun way. He's going to be serving rabbit.
What?
that's been brining in buttermilk and horchata to give it kind of a Tucson twist. He's going to be serving it with a mole blanco and chili spiked carrot confit.
Oh my.
He calls the dish a white chocolate bunny. And it's just one of the specials that he'll be plating up at the parish for Easter brunch. Hippity hoppity horchata, Bill.
Yeah.
Easter's on its way.
Bunny rabbits coming your way. Okay. Inside Tucson Business, what's in the column?
Yeah, King's Day is coming up on April 27th. Now, this is a national day of celebration in the Netherlands.
Sure.
And one Tucson chef who hails from South Holland is planning a delicious celebration for us right here in Tucson. You can read all about it in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Have a blessed, happy Easter to you.
Back to you, my friend. Thanks.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. My thanks to Bob Dio, engineer, producer, all of the people here at Bustos Media, including Funny Man production guy Jerry Cross, and Alicia and Elsa, who do such a great job in the front office. Everybody here is so supportive of our work here at Buckmaster. They all do such a great job. Steve Rivera enjoys coming in too, and he's next with his Sports Eye on the Ball show. On behalf of all of us, have a blessed, happy Easter and happy Passover.